This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome, everybody. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. 1 hour of radio magic today before we turn you over to the Mariners pregame holiday edition of the program. This hour is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Hopefully everybody's having a great holiday weekend. It's beautiful outside, and the Mariners are giving everybody, Dave, everybody a reason to be excited, are they not?
They are, man. It's been so much fun. I went over and watched Friday night's game with our guy Paul Moyer, and we were just loving it. Sat there and watched the whole thing go extra innings, and then yesterday I was sitting there. I was behind once again, and I'm going, oh, man, I hope I have enough added on the end here. Because it was like a, what, four-hour game?
Yeah.
So, yeah, luckily I had an extra hour on there. So I got to see the whole thing, just missed the post-game show, that's all. So it was really cool to watch that. And, man, I'm looking at Abraham Toro, and I know he wasn't, like, necessarily the hero of the whole thing, but can't say enough about since he's been a Mariner, batting 307, and he's got 19 RBIs and four home runs. Pretty amazing.
He's worked out well. Yes, he has worked out well, to say the very least, and the team is just finding ways. No, it's interesting, and it's who they've been all season, really, in that they just have a knack when it feels like, obviously not winning every game, but when things go wrong, it looks like, okay, well, not tonight, and they figure out a way, whether the starters are bad, the bullpen's bad, the offense can't do anything, whatever happens. You know, in some of these games, you feel like, boy, that got a little closer than it should have. You know, it'd be nice for them to come up with a comfortable win, which is what ultimately happened yesterday. Took till the 11th inning, but, you know, then it became a blowout. It's just, they have a knack. And I don't know if it's one of those things we've talked about, Dave, where, well, they don't know they're not supposed to be this good, or they came into a season with zero expectation of winning. They were expected to be a losing team. This was a rebuild year. Thus, they don't play with expectation. The spotlight is not like that of the Yankees or the Dodgers, teams that are expected to win. They spend to win, and there's a huge amount of pressure that goes along with that. Mariners don't have that. I think it adds to their ability to go out there and just go, yeah, we're just playing ball, just having fun. And most nights it's working out really well.
Well, yeah, maybe it, you're right. Maybe it's nobody's on some, a big high tag as far as, salary goes, and that you don't feel like you have a lot of pressure. I don't know if you're watching the game on MLB Network. I'm sorry, I think it's on ESPN. Boomstick just took one out of the entire building in Boston.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course, saw that. And that's a real pitcher's duel right now, 9-8.
Yeah. But it was a 1-2 pitch, and I'm just going, oh, man, I don't know if he's going to be able to get out of this one. Curveball down, like, in the lower corner of the box, and he just digs it out and just over the Green Monster outside the building. You could see the fans up on the top weren't even reacting. So,
well, and that's the beauty, is we're all watching these other games with a lot of interest now, because right now you're pulling for the Rays. You want the Rays to win this. Right now you've overtaken the A's in the division, and you've got the teams in front of you in the wild card, and Boston's right there. That's the team. We're going to be facing Boston here coming up soon, and you need them to continue to lose. So they're up by one run right now. But that's the beauty of this. It's September, and it matters. It's just such a unique thing for Mariner fans out there, and we'll see what it ultimately ends up being. But just to have it be something, have every game mean something, to the point where you're scoreboard watching and you're keeping, what did the Blue Jays do? What did the Yankees do? What did the Red Sox do? What are the A's doing? I love it. That is so much fun to me.
Yeah, I agree, man. And then you start looking at, this series going to Houston, and, we're going to have 1 hour show today, 2 hour tomorrow, just because they get started the pregame at 4 o'clock down there.
We'll make that sacrifice.
Yeah, we've got no problem with that.
We're team players.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, now all of a sudden, I'm just looking at this going, to set yourself up for that Boston series, if you want it to be really meaningful by the time you get there, you got to win at least one of these games in Houston. Two would be fantastic, and then, see what we can do with Arizona at home. If you can go 2-1 in both of those. But, I mean, it's like the other day, Moyer and I were talking about this, their probability they won and it went down you know, from like 3.5% or something to 3% because, you know, you're one game closer. You're running out of games, man.
Right, right. By the way, did Paul allow you into his group Mariners text, or do you have to just be there in person?
No, I wasn't allowed into that. That's for sure.
He said you're allowed to show up, but you can't. You can't enter the conversation.
He's like, hold on a minute, I got to text my group here. So, I wasn't part of it.
Dave, hold that thought. I got to text the fellas, the 32nd Street Gang here. Well, let's go over some of the bright moments. Cut number one, Kyle Seager, who's been coming up clutch in this, a 2-run double in the 11th.
Here's the stretch, and the 2-0 on the way to Seager. Swinging a hard hit ground ball, and it gets on by Smith at first. Down the right field line, Crawford will score. Rounding third, heading home, being waved in. Down the stretch, he comes. Mitch Haniger will score. Around to third goes Ty France. Kyle Seager in at second base with a 2-run double. Listen to the crowd here at Chase Field. And the Mariners now lead the Diamondbacks 5-3. How about that?
Can you believe how many Mariner fans were out there?
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
One time one of the Diamondback pitcher was thrown over to first, and you could hear the boos in there.
I mean, I get that. It's funny because, you know, obviously it's not their home park, and then you realize, oh, yeah, the Diamondbacks are, I believe, the second-worst team in all of baseball. Yeah. So the majority of the people that are showing up seem to be supporting the opposing team. And you heard it right there. I mean, the crowd in the background and everything, the celebration, and then the cameras kept panning the stands. You see all these Mariner jerseys, and it's interesting to see that representation on the road.
You know, I wonder about this fan base. I was thinking about this over the weekend because there are certain fan bases, like, you know, and I'm not a Notre Dame fan. I don't like, is it Brian Kelly? Is that the head coach's name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't like him. And the way he left Cincinnati and the way he treats his players sometimes, I don't like him anyway. But just Notre Dame in general, like, I took a trip there. And, you know, when I was a senior in high school, and it was just like they thought their you-know-what didn't stink, you know, and everything was great and this and that. And so they become these, you know, these fans that are everywhere. They show up everywhere. Dallas Cowboy fans show up everywhere, you know,
and
I guess maybe, Yankees, maybe Raiders. But I think for the Mariners, they, because it's such a huge region, they kind of pride themselves on showing up and not being the annoying fans, but just, of course, it might annoy other people, you know, if they start coming in and taking over the ballpark. But, you know, like down in Arizona playing the Cardinals, I remember seeing in 2019 the fans down there. There was a couple of fights out in the crowd and stuff like that because the other fan base was getting irritated. But I think they pride themselves on showing up, you know, and going to opposing places. And it just seems like, just lately, you know, especially for the Mariners, giving them something to think about. But then, you know, same thing with the Seahawks fans, that they like showing up at other people's ballparks. And, you know, and I know the Seahawks do a great job of recognizing them. But yeah, they've kind of become that team, you know, that bothers other people, which I like.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this is a fairly new phenomenon for the Mariners. You know, yeah, you're always going to have a couple fans in the stands anywhere they play.
There wasn't much to get too excited about the last few years.
And that's what makes it cool is we're used to seeing that with the Seahawks. Seahawks fans, the 12s travel well. They are very loud wherever, especially in Arizona. They seem to take over that stadium during football season, and they represent well. But seeing this with the Mariners, pretty cool, and it gives you a very strong indication as to how people are feeling about this team, the direction of the team. They've won 5 in a row. Kyle Seager, you heard in that highlight there, that was clutch, obviously breaking the tie. And then, the average, I think he's hitting .213 right now, but career high in home. This Seager.
Yeah.
Hitting a career high in home runs right now. Who knows what? Maybe he can get to 40. We'll see what happens. Over 100 runs driven in, hopefully. You know, career highs in production. And he souped one in the pool, which was great. And it was a great call by our buddy Gary Hill, cut number two.
Smith set from the chest. Check second. Here comes the 3-1. Swung on and blasted to right field. We've got liftoff to the pool. Cannonball. Splash! Kyle Seager into the pool. A 3-run blast. 8-5. The Mariners have taken the lead. The second swat of the ball game for Kyle Seager. 6 RBIs, 2 home runs, and the Mariners have the lead. 8-5.
Gary is feeling it at the end of that one. I love it. It's great. Cannonball. It was and the funniest part about that, I mean, it was awesome that he did it, his second three-run shot of the game. But the guys in the pool were hilarious. The guy that caught it is wearing a luchador mask in the pool. And then his buddy, like, dove from one level to the next level trying to get the ball and then was, like, kind of slapping him on the back, like, oh, you son of a gun, you got it. And it was just a funny scene in that pool. But the guy holding up the ball wearing the luchador mask, it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny. I was listening on the radio on the way home from across to, you know, driving across the bridge, and that's when I texted you guys. We got a floater. I thought his was a lot better, you know, cannonball. But more appropriate, not as funny. But anyway, yeah, that was interesting listening to that. And somebody, I think it was either Sims or whoever was on the radio call. Maybe it was Rick, the other guy other than Gary Hill, was like, is he wearing like a mask or something out there? What's going on? And I'm going, I thought maybe like a diving mask or a snorkel or something like that. But
no.
Then I get home and I see what it is. I'm like, geez, what's that? What's the story there?
Yeah.
Just a grown man with a mask out there.
Yeah. It's what I wear when I swim. It's my swimming mask. It's just a goofy thing. The whole scene was weird, but it was, I mean, Seager was huge in that series, you know, in that game, 2 3-run shots, and they have now won 5 in a row, longest active win streak in the AL right now. And again, overtaking the A's in the division, phenomenal. And Scott Servais stating the obvious, something we've been talking about with this team, is that they are anything but boring.
Like I said, a lot to unpack in this game, and certainly this series, I keep saying it's hard to sweep people, and certainly we continue to prove that it is difficult. But heck of an effort by our guys. This team is so much fun. I mean, if you can't enjoy watching us play and how we go about it, knowing that every game is going to come right down to the end, shame on you. You're not a baseball fan. It doesn't get a whole lot better.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong. I mean, you could be the biggest Mariner cynic in the world, and they're never going to go anywhere. They're not going to make the play. Whatever you think, that's fine. You know, they've sort of earned that cynicism. But if you're still you consider yourself a baseball fan, and more importantly, a Mariner fan, how are you not entertained? How are you not enjoying the drive toward the postseason?
Mm. Yeah, I know. I just, and you know, what's funny about that, like the top of the 10th yesterday. It's tied 3-3, and when Kelnick got picked off, or well, he didn't really get picked off, it just wasn't a good enough bunt, but, you know, Dylan Moore bunts down the line, and when he got picked off, you know, a lot of times you think, oh, man, it's going to be really hard now for them, and I just didn't have any doubt in my mind that they were going to be able to make that happen. So, yeah, and then, you know, Ramirez comes in the 10th and just does a great job. But, yeah, when that happened, I mean, typically you're like, okay, your runner on second base just got thrown out. And, you know, you're kind of screwed now. It's going to be a lot harder from scoring from first. But, yeah, they just hung in there, you know, got great pitching performance from Ramirez. And then, you know, you talked about earlier, Haniger, great at bat. France, they both walked. Now you got bases loaded and Seager hits down the line. Yeah, it was just so much fun to watch.
By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but Ty France got plunked again.
Yeah.
It just is unbelievable.
I know.
I'm watching him because we talked to Hyphen about it. And, yeah, he's right. He does stand with that back foot. The right foot is in the very corner closest to the catcher and the umpire. So he's got that, but he's got an open stance. He really doesn't dive out over the plate the way you see some hitters really do. I mean, he steps forward. He doesn't really step toward first base, if you will. He's got an open stance, meaning his left foot's more pointed towards second base or shortstop, and then typically you stride, you're going to stride toward first base. He kind of strides straight ahead. So I get where his back foot is. The amount of times he's been plunked, though, just doesn't make enough. He doesn't stride toward first base enough for me to say, well, it makes sense. Look at the way he's striding. It's interesting that he has been hit as often as he has. It is really remarkable, and thank goodness he's got the arm gear.
Yeah, well, he's a pretty, you know, big guy up. You know, it's not like he's frail up there at the plate. But
he looks like he's 12, Dave.
Well, I know that too, Bob. Yeah, I brought that up to him. I don't know if you remember that. that was only when he was at San Diego State. I was just like, wow, look at this. No, the other thing, though, that Ryan Roland Smith told us, though, is he doesn't bail, right? I mean, he won't bail out backwards. I guess I've seen him do it a couple times. Remember in Minnesota, they threw right at his head.
Yeah.
And he dropped to the ground. I remember he got up and was like, what the? And, you know, and I feel like he's going to get irritated at one point and charge the mound. I keep hoping he will. But yeah, he doesn't go too far bailing out. You know, a lot of guys will. And I'm not saying he's hanging his arm out over the plate. It's just that he's just not going to run away from contact.
Yeah, some of those you can see he understands where it's going to hit. You can see, yeah, it's going to hit me in the arm. It's not going to hurt. I got the gear on. And he'll kind of roll a little bit, roll that shoulder with it, take some of the steam. But he's not leaping out of the way you see some guys do. He'll wear it, get on first base. I mean, and I can appreciate that. But some of them, you're just like, really? Man, he just is. He's a magnet. He's just an absolute magnet for that ball. But, I mean, he's right now their best hitter in terms of average. He's the guy's as consistent as it gets. Absolutely love his addition to this team. And this is a massive series now. I mean, every game we've talked about this. And that's, again, what makes it great. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. Each one of these games it feels crucial. Feels life and death. Like, oh, they got to get this one. You got Kikuchi going against McCullers tonight. Come on, Kikuchi, you got to duplicate what you did in your last start. And the same with Gilbert. Gilbert comes up after him, coming off a really good start. And then Anderson. So you're looking ahead. You're looking at the pitching matchups. And it's almost as if, you know, you're looking at, yeah, the opponent is your division rival. But at this point, it doesn't matter. You got three with Arizona after that. You got to get those. They're crucial. Got to get those games against Arizona. So, yeah, the opponent matters more in some cases. But every game is an absolute must win. It feels like 25 to go. You're making that run. You're making that push. You are in the thick of it. It's not an exaggeration. It's not hyperbole. They are right there in the middle of it.
Yeah, and I'm watching Tampa Bay. Just did he
nine
score?
To nine.
Yeah, it's 9-9
inside the Parker.
So that was an inside the Parker home run. That's what I thought.
And yeah, Zunino's up at the plate, so hopefully he can. We know what he does. He either strikes out or he hits it a country mile. I'm opting for a country mile here.
That would be nice. Yeah. But no, I mean, this is just cool. I mean, it's fun watching this game and, you know, especially seeing Nelson Cruz. But I mean, just even though it's Tampa and Boston, I mean, it's fun to scoreboard watch now because of this team.
Yeah, it is. I love it. Absolutely love it. So the Mariners, and I'm sure they're keeping an eye on what's going on there too. That's the beauty of it. They're probably cheering the Rays on right now, cheering their former teammates Zunino and Cruz. And you know, we talked to them. We've talked to them about, hey, are you guys scoreboard watching? Are you guys talking about it? And they're like, well, yeah. I mean, you can't avoid it. You have to. You know, and I'm sure this has got to be incredibly fun for them. I mean, it's awesome. I love what they're doing. I love that you're on the edge of your seat. Yeah, they're not comfortable wins. It got comfortable yesterday, but they're finding a way. And then one more from Scott Service, just talking about the win overall and how big it is for their playoff push.
Offensively, not a ton going on early. You know, we really grinded out, you know, their bullpen there in the 11th. And, you know, guys came up big. I thought Murphy had a really good day at the plate. Ty France, Toro, Seager, big double. And then we throw a little gold glove on it at the end with J.P. Crawford there with some kind of double play there in the 11th inning. So, you know, big day for us. Obviously, you know, we pick up a game on the people ahead of us. We head to Houston and should be a fun series over there. So, again, can't say enough about this team. This team is so much fun. It's so enjoyable to be around every day.
Throw a little gold glove on it, Dave. I love that. That's so good. That is so good. So 25 games to go. How many of those do you think they need to win to make the playoffs? And I know that we're guessing because a lot of it depends on the teams in front of them and what happens. But just, yeah, I want 25. Realistically, I think they've got to go. They've got to go minimum 16 wins, yeah. 16-9 in this.
I was going to say 17, but, you know, that's pretty tough. 17 out of the next 25.
It's asking a lot. It really is. But it just based on the teams that are in front of them, and I know some are struggling a bit here and there, but just, you know, with what they've got on their roster, you feel like, okay, they're gonna find their way. The A's are gonna get things going. I don't know. I just feel like to make it a minimum number, the bottom shelf number for me would be 16 wins.
Yeah. Seven of those against the A's. So then, you know, hopefully they take care of business in the ones that they should win, like, you know, the series on the other side of this one, Arizona at home and then at Kansas City. Although, you know, Kansas City, I haven't checked them since they left town, but I know they were a very hot team when they came in here.
Yeah, they've been rolling. They're not a pushover. That's not a pushover team anymore. So yeah. I think that, you know, despite what their record tells you, they've proven that they are not to be taken lightly. But isn't that amazing? Let's say they do go 16-9, mm-hmm. right? That's 91 wins.
Wow.
91 wins. And let's say they don't make the playoffs. How could you be mad at them? Disappointed? Certainly, of course. You want to get to the postseason, but if they get anywhere near 90, if they get 85 wins, it's huge. It is so huge. I mean, you kind of jokingly said they're going to win 86. We all thought, okay, that's funny, you know, a little hyperbole. You're going to be the closest to being right. If they win today, I'll be right if they don't win a single game after it. Yeah. You know, I mean, I said 76 wins. Lefko said 80. You said 86. It's just unbelievable. It's just amazing to watch what's going on.
Well, especially considering some of the things that have happened, you know, like that trade at that point, you know, we keep referring to that, but that seemed like a low mark. When they went into San Diego, just totally uncompetitive.
Yeah.
What'd you say? It was like 31-7 or something like that.
I tried to block it out.
But yeah. So, I mean, there were some pretty low points, and, you know, and then they had the COVID thing going on there for a while with their bullpen. So, yeah, it was a... There were some dark moments there, but yeah, they've really had, what are they now, 14-5 or 14-3 in extra inning games, I think. So it's just what a clutch team. And like you said, maybe it's just that they're a bunch of guys that, you know, they don't respond, you know, like negatively to pressure.
Yeah.
They're okay with it because they're like, well, if we lose, fine. We're not supposed to win.
All right, let's take two.
A tough, tough Power 5 college football weekend in the state. The Huskies lose at home 13-7 to Montana. It's only the fifth time since 2000 that an FCS team has beaten a ranked FBS team. And then the Cougs, they led Utah State 23-11 in the fourth, but go on to lose 26-23.
Which loss was worse? I was trying to figure out. I think the Huskies is just based on their opponent, and after that first drive, they just couldn't do anything. But, the Cougs, they add to their legend of cooging it, where they've got a game in control and they find a way to boot it. But if I'm picking between the two, the Huskies game was beyond disappointing, embarrassing if you're a Husky fan. I mean, I saw all of the anger. Oh, boy, there's a lot of anger out there on social media about both of them. But, man, losing to Montana at home, absolutely atrocious.
Yeah, to me, it's by far the worst. I mean, the fifth time since 2000 that an FCS team has beaten a ranked FBS team. That's really bad. Really bad. So, yeah, I caught part of that game, and there weren't a lot of highlights. I mean, there's some good things going on in the Pac-12. You know, UCLA beat LSU. You know, and Utah played well, Arizona State, Colorado. But, man, Washington State, who else? Stanford. They lost to Kansas State.
Did they?
24-7. I think they ran for like 60 yards. Yeah, and Oregon State lost to Purdue. Cal got beat by Nevada, Reno, and Arizona went down. So it was just kind of some good stuff and some ugly stuff in the Pac-12 this week.
Everyone in the Pac-12 North lost except Oregon, and they only beat Fresno State by a touchdown. So tough weekend up there in the Pac-12 North. Some Seahawks news, though. We got Tyler Mabry's been promoted from the practice squad to the 53-man roster. Then Jordan Simmons has also been signed to the practice squad.
That's great news, right, Dave? I know you're a big Tyler Mabry fan, and he was one of the initial cuts where we were all kind of going, wow, I thought they really liked this guy. And he's worked his way back to the 53-man roster. And Jordan Simmons, a guy that I think we all like, he just has a hard time staying healthy. So a couple of positive moves.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's a mystery anymore that they like Tyler Mabry, because that was one of the guys during the, you know, the preseason that they were kind of trying to hide, you know, that's like, we don't want anybody picking him up. And, you know, and again, maybe that's, you worry too much about that because you want to get your own guys back in. But Tyler Mabry, I think, is a complete tight end. I'm excited to see him get out there and play, and good O-line depth there with Jordan Simmons as well.
All right. Take two is brought to you by Swedish Cyberknife. Treat prostate cancer with Swedish Cyberknife. Swedish.org/cyberknifeprostate. Coming up, Dave is in the news breaking business these days.
Oh,
he broke news on Saturday. He'll break down what to expect from the newest Seahawks cornerback. That is coming up next. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
This hour of Wyman and Bob is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Coming up at the top of the hour, Mariners pregame show for game one of their three-game series with the Houston Astros. Stay tuned for that. We are all fired up about the Mariners heading into the final 25 games of their season. And by the way, the Rays just turned a double play to get out of a little bit of a jam there, Dave, in the ninth inning, bottom of the ninth. So they're headed to the 10th. And one more reminder for you, Mike Salk is back in morning starting tomorrow from 6 to 10 a.m. You can catch Salk with daily appearances from Brock Huard, John Clayton, as well as weekly conversations with Matt Hasselbeck, Pete Carroll, Jerry DePoto, and more. Mike Salk back in the morning starting tomorrow. So, Dave, when did you get into the business of breaking news? When did you become that guy who's out there sourcing material, talking to your sources, getting info?
I know. I just think it's... I know it's a big deal for people, but I just think it's silly because it's like, oh, you knew it first. Well, I knew it 15 minutes later. Yeah, but I knew it first. Okay, but now we all know it, right?
I know, it's so dumb.
Yeah, I just don't get that that's a big deal, and I didn't think it was going to be like that. I just happened to come across the information. So,
well, tell people that don't know what we're talking about.
Well, it's the Seahawks signed Bless Austin, Blesson. Is I think how you say his name, but everybody calls him Bless. Bless Austin, guy out of Rutgers who the Jets had drafted in like the fifth round. And the reason why he dropped sixth round, he dropped down so far, is because he tore both of his ACLs while he was at Temple. So this kid is not a huge, you know, is he the answer? I think he's, you know, part of the group of what they want. So here's the thing with Witherspoon. He didn't hit anybody. He sort of shied off of contact, and he just wasn't a fit for this defense. And I don't know why they didn't know that, or maybe they thought that it wasn't that big of a deal, and it became a big deal. So this dude is really physical. This is like a Brandon Browner type of guy. I mean,
he's going to pick guys up and body slam them.
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, 6'1", 200 pounds. But, you know, and I was looking at his speed. I mean, it's not great. I mean, he had, you know, he ran a 4.56 at his pro day. So did I. You know, and I was 235, 40 pounds. So, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it was in the Stanford gym. And, yeah, I was light and everything. But still, I mean, for a corner, that's not super fast. But if you go and look at, like, his, you know, watch him play with the Jets, you know, he was a starter there. And I think a lot of people were really shocked there. But, you know, the new coach there, Robert Saleh, just wasn't, you know, he wasn't one of his guys. He had like three or four guys that he thought were going to be able to compete to start. So he just decided to release him. So, I mean, you look at his games with the Jets, and if you watch, his tackling is what stands out. Now, I know people want cover, but his coverage was pretty good too. He knocked down four passes. In, what, 16 games, he knocked down 8 passes. So, you know, he started 6 games. He started 10 games his second year with the Jets. And I think everybody there thought he was going to be, you know, a good fit and be the starter there. And they cut him, so the Seahawks signed him. And, you know, they did that, I think, over the weekend. And hopefully he's just going to be another guy that they bring in. But, you know, I didn't quite realize what the whole Akilah Witherspoon thing was. But, you know, mostly I think it was that, especially you can see that considering they're signing a guy who, like you said, Bob, hopefully will pick somebody up and slam them on the ground.
By the way, the Rays just scored, Dave.
Yes.
Rays just scored to take the lead. I believe it was Nelson Cruz again. I believe Nelson Cruz just came up with a double to drive in the go-ahead run. It might have been his fourth hit today, I think. He's on fire. Love Nelson Cruz. So
it's like the
Rays.
Sixth run he's been part of today. I don't know if he got credit for the grand slam. I think they ruled it an error, but you know he scored four there, had a home run, and now this.
That's
big day.
Head first dive into second base, avoiding the tag. Just a pro. So they take the lead, and that's good news for Mariner fans. Now back to this, Dave. That's great. I hope he can bring something to the table. Talking about Bless Austin, but
yeah.
Boy, it just adds fuel to the fire of they don't feel great about that spot. They keep adding, and they're not adding big names. They're not adding answers. They're not adding the obvious solution. They didn't go out and trade for Stephon Gilmore. They didn't go out and acquire the known commodity. Hey, this guy's on your roster. You're in a good place at that spot. They haven't done any of that. It feels like they're looking for that diamond in the rough. Like, all right, here's a guy somebody's sleeping on. Let's bring him in.
Yeah, and again, I mean, you can't have the Stephon Gilmore at every position. You have to have it at safety. You have to have it middle linebacker. You have to have it, other places. So, yeah, they're just trying to find the right fit, which is, it still always goes against. It's just kind of my theory that the best corners that they've had here have been developed here, kind of homegrown, not somewhere else. But this guy's young enough where maybe he can come in and they can teach him and just see if he's a fit.
Does it make you nervous at all, or does it give you pause, Dave? I like asking you that. Does it give you pause that they continue to tinker with that particular spot?
No, because it's not about game one or week one. Like, same thing with the receivers. So, like, for example, they have four receivers. They're really deep on their practice squad with receivers, so they can always bring those guys up. And it's about finding the right combination. And it isn't for, week one against Indy. It's for week 7 and 8 and 12 and week 17 or 18, whatever it's going to be, the 17th game. So, that's just a work in progress. Yeah, you'd like to have every single, you don't want the corners to be a question mark, but you're pretty solid at all of the other spots that you have on defense. I put a question mark maybe with some of the inside, rush guys and, whether or not they can replace Jaron Reed. But, I think most people like the pass rush. They like the linebackers. They like the safeties. The corners are a question mark.
Yeah, I don't know. We're going to find out. It's game week. I mean, we got a game coming up this Sunday against the Colts. We'll see what it looks like out there. And when they continue to make these moves at the spot that we all identified as the weakest of the bunch, when we went through and, talk linebackers and O-line and everything, we all had the same level of questions or discomfort with what they have at the cornerback spot, and they keep adding guys. You're like, all right, they clearly haven't seen what they need to see out of the guys they've got. They're bringing in more bodies. So,
well, I think DJ Reed is not much of a question for me.
No, his question is his availability.
Yeah,
to me,
he can really play. No question. Yeah, the other one, the other spot. Who's gonna, and if it's Trey Flowers, is he going to, have some relapse and things? Again, it's just
relapse?
Yeah, it's going to be. It's one of those.
It's going to fall off the wagon and play poorly again.
Yeah, everybody, is very, they're just, it's on blast. Like, if he gets anything completed in front of him, oh, my God, he's terrible, It's the same thing with Witherspoon. There was one reception to Jerry Jeudy. It was really the only one. During all of preseason.
Just felt bad because it was 4th and 5 and it went for 35 yards. Yeah. It just felt really bad.
He stumbled a little bit on it, but like, that was it. I mean, if you go through and look at other people that sometimes we like to watch on the defense.
That's right.
Yeah, sometimes you see some mistakes.
By the way, Nelson Cruz sliding headfirst into home and scoring. So the Rays are now up by 2 on Boston in extra innings. Love it. Two headfirst slides from Nelson Cruz into second and into home.
How old is he? Like 41?
He's 41, I think. Yeah. Just awesome. All right, coming up, we got a little bit of a show announcement about a guest that's going to be joining us. You're going to want to tune in for that. It's coming up next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
All right, before we get to our announcement as far as what's happening with this show, let's give you the Mariners' breakthrough moment of the game, powered by Fox Plumbing and Heating.
Ramirez nods his head up and down. He's ready. His first pitch to Walker. Swung on, lifted to the outfield. Short right field, racing in Haniger. He's there. He makes the catch, and the ball game is over. The Mariners have done it again. 6-5, they win in extra innings. The extra inning magic continues. Somehow, someway, the Mariners find a way, and they get the win in game one of this series. 6-5, the final in 10 innings over the Diamondbacks. Can you believe it? They do it again.
I can't believe it. It's what they do, Gary. It's just what they do. And they did it again on Sunday, extra innings. So there you go. That's the Mariners' breakthrough moment of the game, powered by Fox Plumbing and Heating. All right. Coming up, we are going to have a very special guest joining us every Tuesday at 3 o'clock, and it starts tomorrow at 3 o'clock and goes throughout the entire football season. Dave, would you like to break the news once again?
No, I'm not a newsbreaker, Bob. You go ahead. You run the show.
Well, this is your buddy, though. This is your pal. Buddy. This is your compadre. Stink. Mark Schlereth is going to join us every single Tuesday at 3 o'clock. I'm fired up. I love this guy. He's talking fantastic to him. He's hilarious. He's got a great, great personality. He's hilarious. Obviously knows the game of football. A great Twitter follow as well. Yep. Not afraid to upset people. he seems to do it with, you know, a lot of tongue in cheek stuff, but poking people. It's just he's good fun. I'm fired up for this.
Yeah, I'm looking at his stat page. The biggest upset ever is that he has 5 holding penalties in his career. That's ridiculously outrageous.
What? His entire career, he's only
got
5?
Yeah, it looks like they didn't start keeping track until like 1994 or something like that. Because it
How long did he play?
11 penalties. He played 12 years.
12 years, and he's got 5 holding penalties? That's impossible. That's Jermaine Effetti's first half.
No, you can multiply that by about 25, okay, in reality. And I'll give him a hard time about that when we get him on. So I know he held me in practice all the time, so, you know.
he's a great
2-time Pro Bowler, really knowledgeable, does a great job as an analyst on Fox, and it'll be good to have him on every week.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. That'll be a lot of fun for the football season. So, again, starting tomorrow, every Tuesday at 3 o'clock, starts tomorrow, Mark Schlereth will be a guest of this program, and he is really a lot of fun. And look forward to his brutal honesty. He'll tell you what he thinks, good, bad, indifferent. Not worried about the reaction, just worried about the message.
Remember the Baker Mayfield thing?
yep. Yes, I do.
He was talking about how he hadn't had a squirt of pee in the NFL bucket, and he was already going after people on Twitter, including Mark, and so Mark went after him. It was pretty funny. Good stuff. Well, I loved it.
Which video? Remember the one he was wearing the football helmet through the whole video when he was wearing his Super Bowl rings?
Was it for Jets fans?
Jets fans?
Yeah. He had the 3 Super Bowl rings, and he was peeling his fingers down, you know, and the last one that was left was the middle
number
finger.
One. The middle finger. He was going, well, this Super Bowl, we beat blah, 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 and the score was this. Gives you a couple of details about the game, then pulls down the other finger. Now, this Super Bowl, we beat this team, and this happened, and this happened, and that leaves this Super Bowl, which was his middle finger sticking up to Jets
fans. And they had beaten the Jets in that playoff run. So,
so good. Yeah. And he's wearing his football helmet the whole time, which I'm not really sure why, but it was just added to the humor.
Yeah.
Added the humor. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Again, starting tomorrow at 3 o'clock, you're definitely going to want to tune in for that conversation. So Tuesdays are going to be big. We'll have Schlereth at 3, El Hombre at 5, Clayton at 4. Tuesdays should be huge days for us.
Yeah.
Meanwhile.
Sounds good. Meanwhile,
it's 11-9 in the pitcher's duel taking place in Boston right now with the Tampa Bay Rays up on Boston. So hopefully they can close things out, get at it. There's a runner on third with nobody out, and hopefully the Rays can hang on to this one. This is big.
Here's what's cool is it's September 6th at 2:51 p.m., and we're concerned about the Boston-Tampa Bay game?
Yep.
That's cool. That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, right?
Especially when you have somebody like Nelson Cruz to root for, and he's helping the cause for the Mariners by beating Boston. Boston comes here in a little bit. They get to face them at home for 3 games.
And they just drove in a run. It's 11-10.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Yeah. Well.
So no outs, runner on first, 11-10. Boy, this is quite a display. Is this either great offense or just terrible pitching? I'm not sure.
Not
11-10. There's 21 runs scored so far. So we'll see how long this goes. One other bit of news that's not in the world of sports, but you and I being big fans of movies and TV shows, I'm certain you know who Michael K. Williams is. He was played Omar on The Wire. He played Chalky White on Boardwalk Empire. He's been in a million. If you saw his face, you go, "Oh, I know that guy." Oh, yeah. He's got a big scar down the side of his face. But anyway, he was terrible news. Found dead in his apartment in New York, suspected heroin overdose.
That's terrible.
54 years old, man. This is that's awful news. That's awful news. I really like that guy and the characters he played. So, very unfortunate news out of the world of entertainment. And unfortunately, it's becoming a bit of a cliche. It's sort of like, you know, sort of like rock stars who do the same thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, wanted to put that out there for the for fans of his that may not have heard that news. Meanwhile, we are going to turn you over to the pregame show. Again, game one of a three-game series coming up against the hated Houston Astros. And hopefully they fall on their face. You got pitchers who are coming off great performances. You got Kikuchi going today. You got Logan Gilbert going tomorrow. And then we'll see what they – just win the series. I'm not expecting a sweep. But I do want to win of the series. Is that too much to ask, Dave?
Can we get old? Not at all.
It's fair, right?
Yes.
Two of three?
Absolutely.
Two of three. Let's just take the first two. Take the stress out of it. Let's get the first two, and the third one will be chalk. So there you go. Game one, pregame show coming your way next. We'll be with you tomorrow right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.